Iguodala set the screen. Curry makes another three.
He only needs a split second, and he got it.
What's up, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today is the Warriors beat the Pelicans at home on Halloween, 131-121. Steph Curry goes for what feels like a quiet 38, and Jonas Jerebko officially has become a Warrior. All that and more coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another life-changing episode today. As I mentioned, the Warriors beat the Pelicans last night, 131-121. They move to 8-1 overall, 4-0 at home. Another all-around damn good game for the Warriors. As I mentioned, Steph Curry drops 37, which, oddly enough, was somewhat quiet. And I have a theory on that I'll get to soon. But another incredible night from him. KD, solid. Draymond, great. He is really pushing for that Defensive Player of the Year award, at least for the first nine games. We'll see what happens throughout. But right now, he's going hard and really trying to make it happen. We'll see if he can keep it up for 82 games and all that other stuff. Bench was good. All those things we'll get to. Going to start with my notes throughout the game. First quarter, two fouls on two possessions. The foul stuff is just terrible. It's really slowing the game down, and it drives me absolutely crazy. What do we have here? 50 fouls called last night. 50 fouls called. And 57 free throws, I think. Just too much. It's just too much. And, you know, maybe teams and players will adapt and change the way they play. I understand what they're trying to do, but some of it is so over the top. Like, there was a moment last night, and this is part of why Jonas Jerebko is now officially a Warrior, when Julius Randle got a foul called on him for the most innocuous, just bullshit call. Barely touched Jonas. And look, I mean, that call went in the Warriors' favor. But I still don't want the game slowed down the way they were doing it last night. Really, these officials last night, it was like the Keystone Cops were officiating the game. And if you don't know who they are, basically, how can I say it that you guys will understand it if you don't know who the Keystone Cops are? It's like Super Troopers was calling last night's game. It was bad. It was really bad. To the point that even at coming back from half, they delayed the game about another 5 minutes because they didn't know how many fouls were on Anthony Davis or Tim Frazier. So it was bad in a lot of different ways. Really slowed the game down. Like I said, either the refs need to chill or players need to adapt. And that's the other thing, too. It's different for each ref squad or whatever, each group of referees, group of officials that's doing a game. It's different each game. Because on the road, there were a couple games where it wasn't that bad. It really wasn't that bad. And then we get back to the Pelicans, and I can't even remember the official's name, which is probably good. But he was terrible. The little one, the Napoleonic Complex one. It was just a slow game with 50 fouls called. So had to get that out there. But on to the actual stuff in the game that actually has to do with the players that we came to see, not the officials, you know, hitting their quota for the month of October. Klay comes in, I mean, he starts the game, obviously, hits his first three, Oracle absolutely loses it. Klay was off to a hot start, didn't end that way, going to get to that a little later. Four turnovers in the opening 5 minutes for the Warriors. The turnovers are a problem, and they have been, and that's the thing. They have been for as long as I can remember, and has it really hurt them? Maybe once in a certain finals matchup, But besides that, not really. But 17 turnovers on the night, that's just too much. They do have to clean it up. They have to clean it up. Especially against a team like New Orleans, who is aggressive defensively. You know, they were going for the turnovers. They were trying to make things happen. And so four turnovers in the first 5 minutes was pretty bad. Pretty bad. Damian Jones got in foul trouble early, so they had to take him out and put Looney in. Looney is just so solid. I'm continually impressed by him. And I think part of it is just the fact that the first 2 years in the league, it didn't look like he was going to have a future in the league. And now you could argue he's their best center right now. I mean, I don't think it's an argument. I think he is their best center right now. Night to night, he's their best center. Yes, Jordan Bell, Damian Jones have higher ceilings, but at this moment, Looney's their best center. He had two offensive rebounds last night. One of them led to an open Jonas Jerebko three. Jonas Jerebko, very solid. He comes in, hits his first two threes, missed his next three. Only one of them was a bad shot. The guy's not going to be perfect all the time, but even though he went 2 for 5 from three, let's do the math there. You know what 2 for 5 is? That's 40%. So still solid from Jonas last night. He does a lot of things really well. And he's just been, I'm going to keep gushing about him until this becomes normal, until it's just he's part of the team, which, by the way, I think he became a Warrior last night. I'll touch on that in a little bit. But I'm just super impressed. Again, I think it's kind of the same as Kevon Looney and Alphonso McKinney, is the fact that they didn't play well earlier. Looney, I mentioned his first 2 years. Jerebko, I knew he was a solid player, but man, he looked bad in preseason. He did not look good in preseason. And now he looks great. He looks like one of the missing pieces that they've been trying to get for the last 3 years. So he was solid, had himself a good game. Draymond was great through the first half, brought a ton of energy. Because of how many times the game was slowed down, the energy in the building wasn't great as far as the fans were concerned. Draymond had a play where, I forget exactly how it happened, but basically the ball clearly went off of a Pelican. They called it off a Warrior. Everyone was pretty upset. Great defense throughout the next possession. They get it down to, you know, they have to take a shot with 2 seconds left on the shot clock. Draymond gets the block and starts going nuts, you know, starts pumping up the crowd. And that really got the crowd back into it. But like I said, I think the whole stop and start element of last night's game with all the foul calls is kind of what got the crowd out of it a little bit. But Draymond was not going to let that happen. Tons of energy. Great defensive game from him as well. What did he finish with last night? Something crazy. He had 12 rebounds. Oh, no, excuse me. He had 14 rebounds, 8 assists, 16 points, 1 block. So he had himself another hell of a game. He's Draymond. I mean, I don't have to tell you that he's the heart and soul or all the little things that he does that makes this team so great. He is incredible. And after the game, he mentioned something about wanting to be defensive MVP, defensive player of the year. This is what he had to say.
Is the defensive player of the year award something that, you know, you're chasing again?
Yeah,
this year?
I need that.
You need that?
Huh? I need that bad.
How bad?
Real bad. I made second team all defense last year. I'm pissed about that still. And I'll be pissed until I write that. So that's a serious goal of mine this year. And I'm on it every night. So
You wake up like that then?
Absolutely. I'm pissed. Second team all defense, that's disrespectful.
Draymond Green, motivated, pissed off. I'll tell you what, it's fun to watch. if that's what it gets is Draymond playing like that, it is fun. It's great. It's great for the team, great for the regular season. Of course, the only thing you think about is, you know, being tired in the postseason, stuff like that. But whatever, deal with that when we get there. It's fun to watch. He feels disrespected, which I understand, but also part of it is, you know, he wasn't fully locked in last year during the regular season because of, you know, it's a tough thing to do. They're tired, man. It's a long haul winning championships and playing basically an extra season over the last 4 years. So I understand it, but as long as he can bring it in the postseason, it's fun to watch in the regular season. And he is such an important part of the team. It's still, he's still probably underrated for what he brings to the Warriors. Contractually, there are certain things that go with winning Defensive Player of the Year, and I'm sure that's part of a motivating factor as well. But like I've said before, even if he does win Defensive Player of the Year, I'm not giving him a Supermax if I'm the Warriors. Even if, you know, because Kevin Durant is eligible for it as well, and even if KD leaves, then you have that slot open for Draymond. I just can't do it. Love Draymond. Love what he brings. I think he is incredibly important, but I just can't give $45 million a year to a aging defensive player who is super tough, super aggressive, all the great things he does, but I just don't know how well his game is going to age, and if I'm stuck paying him, you know, $40 million at the end of that deal when his body's kind of breaking down. And who knows, maybe he's the guy who's maybe he's Superman and doesn't break down or whatever. But with the contractual ramifications winning Defensive Player of the Year would have, I just, I don't know if I'd be willing to go that far for the Warriors. But anyways, it doesn't matter because he hasn't won it yet. Who knows if he does? And we'll cross that bridge when we get there. Bottom line is he's playing great basketball, and it's great to watch. Here's what Steve Kerr had to say about Draymond's performance last night.
Yeah, I thought he was probably the best player on the floor tonight. I mean, I know other guys had some big point totals and all that, but now this was not a very clean game for us. And when the game gets a little grimy, it seems to be when Draymond's at his best. So we needed his grit, his rebounding, his defense, and he came through in a big way.
Yeah, Steve, along those lines with Draymond, what do you think has been key for him to have this kind of intensity and impact so early in the season, especially with the fact that he missed a few preseason games?
Yeah, I just think Draymond's approach and his attitude all year has been fantastic. You know, he's such an emotional player and person that there have been times in his career where, you know, he's had these big swings in emotion from one game to the next. And I think he's been very consistent with his effort. He's been able to play through some of the bad spells that in the past may have gotten him down a little bit. And that's really important for our team because in a lot of ways we are only as good as Draymond is on many nights. So I thought he hung in there tonight. You know, on a night, as I said, you know, the numbers are a little deceiving, I think. He scored 131 points. We had 39 assists, but it didn't feel like a great effort by us. I thought our defense was poor, and we made some very careless plays out there. But on a night like this is where we really need Draymond.
There it is, Steve Kerr heaping the praise on Draymond Green, which is well-deserved. But I also think he nailed it. It was, despite the fact it was a solid win, good stats, 39 assists, all that stuff, it was sloppy. It was not great, and I think the turnovers had a big part in that. I think the fouling had a big part in that. But regardless, Draymond had a hell of a game. Steve Kerr recognizes it, and he mentioned that his attitude and just his play throughout training camp and throughout the beginning of the year has been great, which it has. So that was our quick Draymond detour. Back to some game notes here. It's interesting to see Jacob Evans seems to have found a very minor role, very minor, but he's a defensive substitution at the end of the quarters now, which is becoming consistent where he'll come in for Steph or Clay at the end of the quarter for the last minute or so and just defend. And he actually made a nice play at the end of the second quarter, end of the first half yesterday when he got a steal off of, I think, Tim Frazier on the last play of the half. Solid play by Jacob Evans. Just, you know, looking for anything right now. And I think he's a guy who will be playing in the G League rather soon just to be able to get some playing time. But also some G League news coming up in a little bit. One of the last notes I had in the first half, 30 fouls and 30 free throws in the first half. Like I said, it's just too much, man. It's too much. It's slowing the game down. It's making the game a lot less enjoyable. For sure. Third quarter, first note I have, officiating is atrocious. It was really bad. And also the whole halftime cluster of trying to figure out whether Anthony Davis has three fouls or Tim Frazier has three fouls. It was just pathetic. It was a tough mark on the league for that to happen. It does not look good. You had halftime to figure this out. So what the hell are you doing? Getting orange slices and Gatorade? Like, come on. Do your jobs. Do them correct. I mean, we saw the NFL fire an official recently. Like, I don't know. I was really embarrassed last night. It was really bad for them. And maybe that's a one-time thing, but I don't think so. Ronnie Garrettson, I think that was his name. Man, he was rough. KD, second half, quick 5 points to open up the second half. He was solid, not his best game. The mid-range was a little off last night, not as automatic as we've seen it. And that's one of the tough things with his team when talking about him is their greatness is so great, without a better way to put it, that they can have an off night and it'll still be a good night. Like KD, yeah, his mid-range was a little off, but he still went 10 of 17 for 24 points, 8 rebounds, 2 steals. Or excuse me, 5 rebounds, 8 assists, 2 steals. So even though, yeah, it's you have to kind of check yourself when talking about them sometimes, because even though some of the mid-range wasn't falling, he still had a damn good game. So did Steph. And that's another one we're going to talk about. Damian Jones, rough in the first half. He had a better second half, you know, ended the game with 6 points. But defensively in the second half, he did a better job of staying down, rotating, being in the right place. So I give him credit for a better second half. But I think he still only played like 12 minutes or so. And like I said, 11 minutes. Like I said last podcast, it was a tough matchup. And on Friday, it could be a tough matchup also going up against Karl-Anthony Towns. But I'm interested to see. I'm interested to see his progression. As we know, they picked up his fourth-year option. He's a part of this team at least through next year, unless a trade or something happens. So for the Warriors' sake, hopefully he continues to progress and get better, because this is his first official run in the NBA. But it's been fine. It's been fine. That's the other thing. I hear some people give him a ton of praise, and I hear some people just rip him to shreds. Why can't it be anything in the middle? Why do we have to compare every player to, you know, Shaq, every center to Shaq? Maybe Damian Jones is a solid role player. And when you're surrounded by 4 All-Stars, that's enough. Maybe he's actually bad. I don't think he is. But I also don't think he's as good as some people say. Like, we did that with JaVale McGee last couple years, where some people thought he was great and wanted him to start. And I think in backlash to that, a lot of analysts said he sucked and shouldn't even be on the court. And at the same time, like, why can't it just be somewhere in the middle? Why can't he just be a useful role player? Like, that's fine. So I think that's what DJ is right now, Damian Jones. And by the way, if I call him DJ, that's what I'm talking about, guys. Come on. Jerebko, still holding on to my Jerebko talk. I will get to that in a second, but he's damn good. I would say not a classic third quarter for the Warriors. We haven't seen that third quarter dominance that we're used to, but they were +8 in the third, which is good for them. Not great. I mean, a little less than they usually get. It's usually double digits, or at least for the last couple of years when they're the third quarter Warriors. But +8, solid for them, no doubt. McKinney, man, I really like McKinney. He's just solid game, but also some of the mental stuff that appears to hurt some of the other players that the Warriors bring in, the mental stuff of being on the floor with 4 All-Stars and 3 of the best shooters in the world, to be hesitant to take a shot, does not seem to affect Alphonso McKinney at all. I do think he took his first bad shot of the year last night, which is fine. It happens. It was a quick transition 3. I would rather him take the ones where he's, you know, got his feet set and is open, but doesn't matter. What I wrote down is McKinney, no fear, aggressive, confident, and willing. He's just, it's more than what he actually does on the court. It's the mental aspect that, you know, plagued Omri Caspi and Nick Young a little bit, and just Alphonso McKinney does not have that, and he's been a huge help to this team, which I would not have guessed, would not have seen coming in training camp. I remember looking at the rosters going, oh, this guy's, you know, 6'8", 215. We'll see. See what happens. And he is a major bench piece now. 5 rebounds last night, 5 points, 1 assist, 2 of 3 from the floor. He's just all over the place and is rebounding. It's pretty crazy to see a rebounder like him in that type of body. You know, he's a small forward, basically, but a hell of a rebounder. So on to the fourth. Not a lot happened in the fourth. Clay, As I mentioned, the hot start, he went 6 of 8 to open up the game, missed his next 7 shots, finished the game 7 of 17. So something I mentioned yesterday was, as great as that record-breaking performance was, I need the consistency now for him to actually be back. And last night wasn't it. 7 of 17 and 1 of 4 from 3. So we're still working on getting back, and I'm sure he'll get there. But yeah, last night was just eh. Solid defensively. Again, that's the nice part about Clay, is you still get the defense even when the shooting isn't there. Real quick, I wanted to mention Frank Jackson for the Pelicans was playing over Ian Clark, which is understandable. I like Jackson. I think he's a solid piece and will develop into something good, develop into a role player. But he was not very good last night. And they didn't go to Ian Clark until late in the fourth. And I thought they should have done that earlier. That's about all my Pelicans stuff for you. Nothing too crazy there. And maybe it's just my Ian Clark love since he used to be a Warrior. DeMarcus Cousins was talking to Alvin Gentry and Anthony Davis after the game. It was a little animated, but I'm sure it was all in good fun. No idea what was actually said there. Some other DeMarcus Cousins news came out today. And before I get to that, I don't know if I gave Steph enough love. Did I talk about Steph already? Maybe I was saving it. 37 points. What did he have? 12 of 20 from the field, 7-11 from 3, 6-7 from the free throw line, 2 rebounds, 9 assists, 2 steals. The only knock on him was he had 5 turnovers. But again, just Steph Curry is, it's stupid to say, but through 9 games, he's the MVP. And he's averaging 33 points a game. The next closest, I think, is Kemba Walker at 30. And Steph had a game where he put up 37 points, 7-11 from 3, that was kind of quiet. And is that just me? Did you guys feel that as well? Hit me up on Twitter. Let me know at CTH415. But it felt like a quiet 37. And maybe it's just because he never had a run of back-to-back-to-back three-pointers or something like that. But he was just consistently hitting, but never looking for a shot consecutively, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I'm tripping. But it felt like a quiet 37 for some reason. So I just had to get that in there. I don't know if I already mentioned it. But as I mentioned with DeMarcus Cousins, some news came out about him as well. Jonas Jerebko is officially a Warrior, and some other little news pieces coming at you next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Charles T. Hamilton, your host. What's good? So I've been saving this, but Jonas Jerebko is officially a Warrior. And let me tell you why. Utah game, definitely. I agree with Steve Kerr. That's the kind of game that, you know, makes him a Warrior. You're one of us. You're with us now. You know, we go together. But last night, my man Jonas Jerebko shot 5 threes. He was balling. He was doing his thing. 5 threes. Maybe 1 or 2 ill-advised. A sauce behind the back, a steal sauce behind the back pass to KD in transition for a dunk. A technical, and then he laughed at the refs too. He's officially a Warrior. He is as much of a Warrior as I've ever seen. Jonas Jerebko, no question, is a Warrior. Got the T, you know what I mean? Got a foul called against Randall, which he knew was a bad call. Laughs at the ref. He fits in, man. The guy's a Warrior now. I don't know what to tell you. I don't know what else to say. Draymond, I think, was talking about him as well. I think it was Draymond. I can't quite remember. But they were also talking about how his physicality and energy is something that they did not realize that he had. And they're just super happy, super impressed with him. But yeah, the T, the behind-the-back pass, the jacking up threes, he is officially a Golden State Warrior for sure. Maybe need to work on the bench celebration a little bit, but besides that, guy's a dub, no question. Some quick DeMarcus Cousins news. He did some light for maybe 4-on-4, I think, but he did some light scrimmaging, and Steve Kerr is being very careful. He made sure to mention it's great, we're excited about his progress, but he's nowhere near playing. Which, again, makes sense. but I've mentioned it before, the Athletic article from the Athletic, where Tim Kawakami mentioned he thinks it'll be mid-December. That's still 6 weeks away, so that doesn't mean he's close to playing. He could easily be back mid-December, which would be crazy and awesome, and I can't wait to see it. But we'll have to wait and see. But again, he's making progress. Great progress that I was not quite expecting. Something else Steve Kerr said in his availability today was, he was asked about DeMarcus Cousins' one-year deal, and he said, "We made no bones about it when we signed him. This is a one-year deal, and we're not going to have money to sign him next year, so we'd like to help him win a championship and sign a great contract somewhere else. That's the reality." And some people were up in arms about it on Twitter. Again, Twitter sucks. Sometimes it's great, but it also sucks. Because, yeah, that is the reality, and we've known that since the day they signed him. Because of the cap, because of the way the CBA is written, the Warriors will not have bird rights for DeMarcus, and they also will not have cap room to sign him into. So all they're able to do is offer him 120% of what he got this year, which means, so he signed for like 5.3, I believe, so they can only give him like 6.5 next year. If he wants to accept that, awesome. Come on back. But that's the only way they can re-sign him, or if Clay and KD both leave, and then they can sign him to a big deal. But that's what's happening. They're not going to have money to sign him. Clay's not going anywhere. I don't think KD is going anywhere either. So if Boogie wants to come back for 6 point something, would love it. I would love it. But it's not going to happen. So that's just the reality. Twitter needs to calm down and stop being dumb. It's just the truth of the matter. So, oh well. I mean, did we not know that? Were people thinking that they were going to sign him to a big deal or something? The CBA is super convoluted, but this has been out there for a while, so I don't know why people would be surprised by it at all. Going to take a quick break. Finish up with some game picks, some G League news as well. You're listening to Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Going to start with some G League news. The Santa Cruz Warriors have announced the team's opening night roster, and it has one guy I was kind of happy to see, and it still remain intrigued by, is Antonius Cleveland. He was with the Santa Cruz Warriors last year, and I think maybe was it the Hawks? Someone signed him to a two-way, I believe. So we lost out on him last year. Intrigued. We'll see if it ever becomes anything more than just being intrigued. But young guy, 6'6", he's that, you know, guard, small forward kind of player. Long wingspan, great athlete. We'll see what happens. But Jahlil Cousins is also there, who, as you guys know, is DeMarcus Cousins' brother. And then some names you guys will recognize from training camp and summer league. Marcus Derrickson, two-way player. As you guys know, I'm high on him. Deontay Davis, the former second-round pick. He was taken one pick after Damian Jones. Damian Lee, another two-way player. Kendrick Nunn, who was with the Warriors in summer league and preseason. The guy can really fill it up. I don't know about you guys. I check out the G League. I enjoy it. Part of why I've been watching it was to watch Damian Jones the last couple years. But I'm definitely going to be watching to see guys like Kendrick Nunn, Antonius Cleveland, Marcus Derrickson, Damian Lee, all these guys, but especially Damian Lee and Marcus Derrickson. They could be playing for the Warriors at certain points during this year because they're on two-way contracts. So good to see. Good to see the rosters and what's going on with the G League. They open up against these new Stockton Kings on November 7th, next Wednesday. It's also my birthday, no big deal. But, yeah, check it out. I definitely enjoy G League basketball, not 100% of the time, but sometimes. So check it out. Tonight's picks for me, League Pass picks. Bucks and Celtics, obviously, that's actually nationally televised. It's the two nationally televised games that I'm interested in. Bucks are 7-0, Celtics 5-2. As we know, the standing with those two teams, both great teams in the East, could be a Eastern Conference Finals preview. And then Pelicans Trailblazers tonight. Trailblazers off to a great start, 5-2. Pelicans, as we know, are a solid team. And the Pelicans sweeping the Trailblazers last year in the first round of the playoffs. Hopefully Trailblazers have a little something for them tonight. You know? Get a little revenge. Or at least make it a good game. Who knows? Anyways, thanks for listening. Be back tomorrow. A little game preview of the T-Wolves and the Warriors. And probably a bunch more news because it's the NBA and the news never stops. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.